This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Time to break down the tape.
Big
Bad Film Study with Ken McCusick. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
8:31 in the AM. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us right now from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. He is Ken McCusick. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Doing well. You know, last week, last Monday, Anthony Averett looked like one of the worst cornerbacks, defensive backs in all the National Football League. What caused or what helped him bounce back tremendously this Sunday?
Yeah, he had a good game for sure. They didn't use as much wiggle at the top of the route to get players free. There was a lot more of shorter passes to the outside, a lot more of using the middle of the field, and he just looked better doing it. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't, I guess. We're very fortunate that Anthony Averett recovered quickly. The Colts did a great job of moving their receivers away from the sideline a little bit and letting Averett not work his magic as that sideline, as the extra defender that he'd been very good with as well.
The biggest complaint I think all of us have had this year has been the inside linebacker, I guess, you know, Patrick Queen in particular. How did you look? How did you see it this week with Bynes?
Yeah, huge difference, night and day. I mean, Bynes probably, if he had a 40 race with the other three inside linebackers on the team, would lose by half a second or 0.4 seconds at least to the fastest of them. In fact, he ran a 4.81.40 coming out of school, but he's by far the fastest in terms of play speed and intensity relative to the other inside linebackers, and that really shows up immediately when you see him play. I think what's interesting is his usage. He's really being used as the mic. He played every single base and standard nickel snaps. So that's 39 of the 53 snaps they played. Queen, Harrison, and Board each played some snaps with him, but nobody else has a role defined. Bynes is the one who now has a role defined. The only one who's on the field in some regular package all the time is Board, who plays on the obvious passing down. So I think we'll see this going forward. I think they're not going back to Queen as the mic anytime soon, and so his snaps are going to be reduced. He'll be on the field only with Bynes, I would imagine, from now on. And it seemed to be he was a pretty good handler. Bynes was a good handler for Queen in this game, and Queen's play also improved, although the 12 men on the field thing was unfortunate.
Hey, Ken, can you talk to me about the offensive line, not only how they played, but also moving forward, because they said there's some Ronnie Stanley news that's going to come out soon. Doesn't make me feel good knowing that they just picked up two offensive linemen from other teams, but what did you see on Sunday with the offensive line and then moving forward?
So, first of all, I agree with you on Stanley that I don't expect it to be good news, so we'll hope it's not the worst news, and we'll hope it's just bad news is what I'm looking at. But McCary, I thought, had a good game. Zeitler, a good game. Nobody really stood out with a great game in this one. Nobody graded out as an A the way I looked at it. Villanueva was at a C level, which has been about where he's been at his best at left tackle. McCary has done well. He's been very well covered up in terms of the amount of eligible receivers that they're covering the edges of the line of scrimmage with. But you can't take away from his performance this time, because a lot of it, he had responsibility for Joey Bosa, and he did a very good job with that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Ravens, they came out guns blazing here with Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. You know, offensively, they were able to run the football quite well, something they hadn't done in the past. Ken, after watching film, was that more because the Chargers are so bad against the run, or did the Ravens do something different from week 5 to week 6?
They had a fair number of advantages going that way in terms of who the Chargers had personnel wise. Their defensive interior isn't particularly stout. They leaned on Bosa a good amount, and he's a lot of things, but he's not a huge guy in terms of size and whatnot. And so a couple of big bodies on him help. The inside linebackers for the Chargers are without Drew Tranquil, lacked a lot of the speed they normally have. And they ran a lot of very heavy counter plays where they're pulling two players from one side to the other, and that gives the Ravens as many advantages as possible, not only in terms of size at the point of attack, if they choose that way, but also in terms of misdirection. And that worked pretty effectively, too.
What do you think about the premiere of Bateman?
Good. I liked what I saw in terms of route running, is being able to snap them off, come back to the football. Keep that defensive back guessing at the top of the route trees. A lot of short routes. We didn't see a lot of him working down the field and getting thrown to, at least. Still don't like his hands in terms of some things coming out of college. He had a lot of drops. You can see how that might have happened, the way he tried to catch that last football almost like a punt and, you know, gather it in towards his body instead of having his hands out there to receive it. And, obviously that led to the interception.
Let me ask you, as we move forward, Lamar, and him, I mean, he's had a great success record against Cincinnati. I didn't think he was bad. I thought, you know, he had a lot of nice drives in the game. He had the two turnovers, one of which, as you pointed out, not his fault. But this Cincinnati team's been playing extremely well. So what did you see from Lamar in this game and then moving forward against Cincinnati, who, again, he's had a great track record against them?
Right. This is a very low productivity day for Lamar. So we don't want to see another repeat of this. Even before that last interception, he wasn't having a good game. So 4.7 yards per pass play, that's just not very Lamar-like. He didn't really throw the ball down the field. He didn't have a lot of time to throw the ball down the field. He only got seven ample time and space opportunities, which are a three-second pocket. So, you know, there were some protection issues in this game in terms of keeping the Chargers off him. Basically I'm not concerned about him in terms of anything, but I'd like to scheme ways to get him more pockets where he, or extended pockets where he can really pick the opposing team apart, as opposed to relying on his playmaking ability to get rid of the ball quickly and make plays. That's just not Lamar at his most valuable.
There he is, Kim McCusick. Tell folks in Baltimore all about Film Study Baltimore.
Normal stuff up, and we're doing a 25 years series, and hope people will enjoy that and give it a chance.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Kim McCusick.
Take it easy.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.